The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google. What makes them industry giants? Get ready to take a peek inside and learn their secrets of success. This is Silicon Valley Insider, the show that demystifies the Valley and helps to elevate your business to the next level. Now, your hosts for Silicon Valley Insider, Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler.
Welcome to Silicon Valley Insider. I am your host, Keith Koo. And today in the studio with me is my special guest, Nikki Chu, CEO and COO of co-working space startup Campsite. My regular co-host, Jonathan Ziegler, is still out on extended leave. I wish him and his family best as they're recovering from that flu. Just as a reminder, Silicon Valley Insider is a show dedicated to two things. Our mission is to educate and inform, but also to really hear about those unique stories that happen, not just in Silicon Valley, but outside of Silicon Valley as well. We want to hear about innovation, disruption, and that's really one of the key reasons why we have Nikki in the studio with us today. So welcome, Nikki. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Keith. Happy to be here.
Just some background on Nikki. Nikki has had a really diverse experience. You were once a river rafting guide?
That's right, yes. As a kid, I grew up on the Ottawa River rafting and whitewater kayaking.
And that's before all that formal education. I see that you have an MBA and you have a master's in education from Harvard.
That's correct, yeah. So I guess two of my passions are, one is business. The second is creating well-rounded human beings. And that's why I decided to go back and study human development and psychology at Harvard, because I really wanted to understand what is good for creating human beings that are happy and healthy.
That's really cool. I think as I dug into what Campsite is, it's a really interesting start, right? I mean, tying that human connection. When I was reading Campsite, which is spelled C-A-M-P-S-Y-T-E, that was originally a concept around modular offices, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly how we started. We were thinking about how to create office spaces that could be mobile. And so containers being a really mobile platform, we had prototyped a small office space within a container. And what we found was that people really think there's a novelty factor around containers, but they don't actually like to spend a lot of time in them. They can be quite sterile environments. And I think one thing that really helps boost creativity and why people seek out different office spaces is to engage their mind in a different way. And so although we started with containers, we soon evolved beyond that into our current concept.
And that's why I think having you on the show today is just very unique, in that we see a lot of stories about unicorns, which are these 1 billion startups like Uber and Airbnb. We hear lots of stories right around crypto, blockchain, Bitcoin, and IoT. But there's so many stories to be heard about just everyday entrepreneurs trying to solve everyday problems, like what originally was a modular office and now into, you know, how humans can enjoy the urban setting of San Francisco in an outdoor space. So I did want to just chat a little bit more about modular and containers, because that still seems to be a huge buzz, even though Campsite and your firm has decided to kind of park that idea. Why is it still in the press and in people's thoughts so often?
That's a great question. I think there's a lot of great things about containers, primarily that they can be moved around easily. They can be built upon. Structurally, they're pretty sound. We found that, and this is the case with a lot of cities. City planning and zoning has a real influence on how fast you can grow and what you can do. And containers are considered permanent structures by the city of San Francisco. And that adds a whole layer of regulation that we wanted to stay away from. And there is, I totally agree that there is still a really interesting, there's a lot of interesting things about containers that we can apply in different environments. And I think that's where the buzz comes from. And I'm not saying that like containers are not the future in any respect. I think just for what we're trying to create, it's not the path forward for us.
Thanks for the explanation. I had mentioned a couple months back that I had hosted a group of journalists from China trying to do urban planning, and we had met with the city of San Francisco's planning commission, planning department. And I know that there is a lot of what we would call red tape, so I can imagine the process. But in terms of San Francisco considering containers being a permanent fixture, does it matter if it's actually bolted down into the ground or if it's just layered on top?
If it's layered on top, it's considered permanent. So anything on wheels is considered not permanent, which is why we decided to put campers in our space so that they can be considered temporary structures. Anything that is movable on wheels is fine. It doesn't have the same regulation.
This is totally random, but I had dinner once at Huber Keller's restaurant before he closed, Fleur de Lis in San Francisco. And he had talked about how he had started a restaurant in St. Louis, and St. Louis has an ordinance that you can't have casinos. So instead, they created a concrete boat. The entire hotel casino was, in essence, a boat with a steering column and a captain, mm-hmm. but completely moored in an enclosed space so that it's barely considered floating. I wonder for your modular container concept that the city of San Francisco would have allowed some form of wheels to be added to the container and then it would be fine.
Yeah, you know, that's funny that you say that because we actually have a prototype right now that is a container sitting on a trailer bed that is on wheels that we thought about deploying at different points in the city to have sort of like a mobile office. And so just going back to like human beings and what they enjoy and what creates good space, we realized that like people don't actually like spending that much time in containers. It is a pretty sterile environment. There's not a lot of natural light. Light and fresh air are two things that I think really improve space. And so, we've thought about that. We've gone down the path. We also own and operate a co-working facility in San Francisco, and sort of like our first 3 years of campsite was really about prototyping different things and seeing what stuck, what didn't, experimenting a lot, finding out what users enjoyed, what they didn't enjoy.
Well, Nikki, this is going to be a really fun show today, just learning more about what Campsite's doing, and we'll get right back to you in our next segment. But before we go to the station break, I did want to mention a few newsworthy items. The first one I want to talk about is still in the news, was where we had Doug Park of Park and DeBage last week. We were both talking about the largest crypto theft in history, $500 million plus on a Japanese crypto exchange called Coincheck. There's just been a lot of fallout on that. There was a news release this week that the SEC and the Commodity Futures Trading Commission were on the Hill really explaining their view on this blockchain type of technology. So I'll quote, "For capital formation and risk transfer, they include machine learning and artificial intelligence, algorithm-based trading, data analytics, smart contracts, valuing themselves and calculating payments in real time and distributed ledger technologies, which over time may come to challenge traditional market infrastructure. They are transforming the world around us, and it is no surprise that these technologies are having an equally transformative impact on U.S. capital and derivative markets." This is just a simple way of saying that the government is really taking into account everything crypto and blockchain and Bitcoin. And as we've been talking about for many episodes, there's just going to be a lot of regulations coming down. Again, if you want to reach us, just go to svin.biz where you can find out how to email us or call us. We'll be right back.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your hosts, Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler.
Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo, and joined with me today is special guest, CEO and COO of Startup Campsite, Nikki Chu. Nikki, thanks again for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Keith.
So, Nikki, when I went to go visit Campsite, we had talked in our last segment about how Campsite originally started off as a concept to create modular offices with containers. But when I showed up, it was really like somebody's backyard or campground. How did that come about?
It's a great question. So my background really is in outdoor experiences as well as business. I used to be an investment banker and a residential developer. And something that I noticed that I really enjoyed doing was working outside, and there was no good place in the city to do that. So we had this beautiful opportunity where we had a lease on a parking lot that we had to move our modular containers office space out of. And we thought, what could we do with this parking lot? And I was like, let's just try outdoor co-working. It'll be relatively low capital cost to improve the space to the degree where people would want to spend time in. The two things that we needed to do were have electricity and outlets everywhere, and then Wi-Fi. And those were two things that were relatively simple. And then from there, it was a really organic process. My co-founder and I, Dennis, basically got a piece of paper and drew numerous floor plans as what we thought the space could look like that include a hanging tent, a couple campers that you could host meetings in, a campfire, a camp kitchen that has sort of beer, kombucha, cold brew coffee, outdoor seating, shaded areas, lots of plants. And we thought, let's just see what happens. And what we found was that people really enjoyed being in the space. It was the first time that we had put a product into the market that people were telling their friends about and would come back time over and over again.
Yeah, the very first impression I got when I visited Campsite was just that the attention to detail to make it look like basically a campground was phenomenal. Down to the mugs being camp mugs.
Thank you. Yeah, we think a lot about the details and how people use the space. Another thing that is really important to us is having people open the door for themselves so that it really feels like they're coming into a space that is their own and that they upkeep it like they would their own. We try and have very little touch points with staff just because I think it creates, by not having a physical person staff there, it allows people to enter the space and feel like their own. And that's something that's really important to us.
Let's go back a step and explain what co-working is for those who, you know, I know that especially in highly dense cities like San Francisco, New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, co-working has become very important. But what exactly is co-working?
Yeah. And so we originally thought about this as being an outdoor co-working facility. And then we noticed that people really wanted to have events and host people in social gatherings in our space. And so we've sort of not necessarily like turned away from co-working, but we really thought about how can we make events easier for people to plan. So we're focused on high frequency, low touch events. So anything from your typical birthday party, your happy hour, you just want to have a group of friends over and drink beer around a campfire. You can do that with Campsite. And so during the day when there are no events, people use our facility 2 to 3 times a day. We have a couple our high frequency users use Campsite 3 to 4 times a day for one-on-one meetings to just sit and work outside. And they find a lot of comments come back that the space is just really creative. And so if they have to do something that is creative or a creative project, they'll come to our space to do that work.
Yeah. So that's the impression I got. When I was there, we had people coming in, they were using it for co-working. I was just checking. To me, it kind of looks like in California Adventure next to Disneyland, the cars space. So when I was like looking around the campers, I didn't realize that somebody was inside of one because they were doing a meeting. But it was just like almost like not an amusement park, but it was very cool, the outdoor feel to it. Back to how you're thinking about event management and planning. It's funny because two shows ago we had Stephen Liu, the founder and COO of Sparkso, an event and ticketing management company, and just I can just think of the synergies with that type of solution where you can do event management. Sparkso is a little bit different, that they're trying to enable event producers. Yours, in a way, is something similar, where if I'm a somebody who hosts lots of corporate events, or if I'm doing curating unique experiences, I would definitely think that this is one of those go-to places.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. So we think of ourselves as that low-touch, high-frequency event. So we're not your wedding planner, and we never want to sort of play in that space. What we want to do is help people that want to just gather quickly and easily, a really easy way to do that. And something that we're thinking about is prototyping a kind of menu for services event. So you can select from a menu of bartenders, caterers, and you can basically like drop a pin in Golden Gate and have all these people arrive. So we're really focused on trying to make things easy for people.
Thanks. Yeah, we'll get more into detail on how to engage with Campsite in our next segment. But before we do that, I did want to mention some more newsworthy articles. One was on an outdoor app called Strava, which is what tracks cycling and running. They had a news announcement a week back that their user data was open to the public and was actually, in some cases, releasing very sensitive information like location of our military in Afghanistan who use their app as a fitness tracker. And that story there is just that people really need to understand that both that they need to be responsible for their own data and privacy, not to rely on a service provider because you just sometimes don't know. And so there's ways to keep yourself safe. Another news item was that Facebook has decided to ban all ads related to cryptocurrency, blockchain, Bitcoin. And that's to protect what we've been talking about, all these frauds happening in investment space. We certainly understand that right now is a very volatile market. The advice there, though, or the kind of the unintended consequence is I had seen one of the bloggers I follow who's very involved with Bitcoin and blockchain in Germany, and their nonprofit fundraising ad got cut by Facebook because they had ICO in the headline or in the advertising line. So that's just something that often happens when you make a kind of a drastic decision to say we're going to ban anything like blockchain. But that does relate to an article that we did not talk about last week but happened because we were so hung up on the crypto theft from Coincheck, was that there was a bank or a purported bank called Arise that said or claimed to be the first blockchain-based bank, and the SEC completely shut them down, assigned a receiver, and is trying to figure out how to pay back the $600 million to $1 billion of investments. And we just, last week's episode with Doug Park was all about keeping you safe because there's just so much happening in cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and blockchain that people just don't understand. We had said, you know, don't have the fear of missing out. And that is still what I thought Doug's advice last week was really good. Everyone should just take a pause and breathe fresh air, go to Nikki's campsite to do that because there's just so much volatility. People really don't understand what they're doing. So again, we have Nikki Chu from Campsite in studio today. We're talking about how to engage with Campsite, and we just really thank her for being here. If you need to reach us, find out more about Campsite or cryptocurrency or blockchain, come to svin.biz. That's svin.biz, and we'll be right back.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your hosts, Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler.
Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider. I am your host, Keith Koo. I am joined today with the CEO and COO of Outdoor Space Campsite. Nikki, in our last segment, we were talking, just getting started on talking about how to engage with Campsite, the services that it provides, and some of the unique ways of using Campsite as a space for events. Let's go more into that.
Great, yeah. So we have one beta site right now that is located at 4th and Brannan, off a small side street called Freelon. And people are able to book our space for events and facilitate any type of gathering that they want. It's sort of like the idea of your own backyard, where you can have your choice vendors come and provide whatever services that you want. So we really like the idea that it can be a creative and engaging process for people, that we don't restrict. You can only use certain vendors or certain bartenders or certain caterers. We like to allow people to do it on their own. And part of what is our model is basically having like a low touch event. So people can open the door with their smartphone and basically have at the space as use it as they would want.
Is there a minimum amount of time for an event rental?
There's no minimum of time, but we find that people use it for generally 2 to 3 hours.
Okay, because I would imagine there's some setup involved and all that. Just reading the literature that was available, you've already had quite well-known companies use your space.
Yeah, that's right. Strava uses our space regularly. Reside, that is right next door to us. LinkedIn,
Salesforce,
Start 500 startups, and Dandelion Chocolates. A lot of local people, Cliff Bars come to our space. It's been a really engaging process for people.
When you and I were chatting about doing the show, you had mentioned how you're going to be expanding to New York pretty soon.
So we just accepted an accelerator position in New York for the summertime, and it's backed by BMW Mini, and they're really excited about how to improve cities, and it's something that we think a lot about. So we thought it was a great partnership where we hope to be in New York to explore different options about how people do things over there, what parking lots look like, what do other people's backyards look like, what does outdoor space in the city look like, and we're focused on having a parking lot location be the entrant into a new market and then listing other people's outdoor spaces on our platform to create a marketplace.
That's a question I had, was how would somebody who had a space get in touch with you to actually develop that space?
Yeah, that's a great question. Right now on our website, we're accepting new listings. And so if you go to www.campsite.com, and click on list your space, we would receive that inquiry and then go through the process with you of listing the space.
And just to make sure, it's campsite with a Y, so C-A-M-P-S-Y-T-E. And then, again, you can come to svin.biz if you forget how to spell campsite. So I'm beginning to work a lot with cities in the Bay Area. I'm hosting a smart city conference in May. The city of San Jose is hosting it. I'm going to be the MC. But even with San Francisco and San Jose having, you know, very strict regulatory processes, permitting process, what we should talk about in the first segment, I can imagine other cities having open spaces that may want to allow folks to use. How would they, would that be a different process to get involved with you?
I think it's roughly the same process. We generally think about parks and public space as being defensive, and so they're designed around not trying to have people spend too long in them. And something that we think about for campsite is how to engage people and how to have them have an enjoyable experience in the outdoors, close to home. So we really design our space to have it be welcoming, and I think that's kind of the difference there.
I think another difference, so thank you for clarifying, I think another difference is that there's some cities that it's not really the park or recreation area. It's something where they actually own or have access to an unused space or an empty lot or something like that.
Yeah, we definitely, I mean, I think there's a lot of opportunity for small parking lots of under 5,000 square feet to be redeveloped in this way. And if you think about the trends in technology and self-driving cars, there is going to be a lot of parking lots that are underutilized right now, and they're just basically like wasted space in the city. And so if we can engage them in some way to create better cities, and sort of two things that we know that are proven by science. Number one is that access to nature really improves people's well-being, and the proximity to nature is really important to people. So if we think about big parks that people cannot access daily, it doesn't really do them much good. But little parks dispersed throughout the city at higher frequency does people much better. And so accessing nature on a daily basis really improves the well-being of people in cities. And the second thing is having loose social interactions really improves people's well-being. And so with Campsite, we're trying to engage both of those things.
Yeah, that's what I really liked about Campsite's philosophy. I spent most of my career in office buildings, worked extensively in San Francisco. What was unique, though, is my last executive job, outside of my office, I could see one of, I think, the 10 open spaces on top of buildings in San Francisco. And I think that compare that a lot to what you're doing with Campsite is that even those 10 spaces, and the folks don't know what I'm talking about, in San Francisco, there's some office buildings and high-rise buildings that have free access to open space on top, but they're still really hard to get to, and you have to know where the locations are. But I do think, to your point, Nikki, that it is really important that people have access to that for their own well-being. When I think more about what's happening with, you said, parking lots, aren't cities or developers trying to make those into just yet more office buildings?
Yeah, so I think there's a really unique opportunity here about the size of the parking lot. So typically, parking lots of under 5,000 square feet aren't really primed for redevelopment. And I can speak to this because I used to be a developer. And people are waiting for a big ticket price to sell their land or to build something really tall so that they can capitalize on the location of wherever the lot is. But typically, parking lots of 5,000 square feet or less aren't really great for redevelopment. They're just too small to have the height that you think they warrant. And so if you think about, let's say, a pharmacy that has a parking lot that used to be sort of like 5-minute parking while you run into the local corner store, because we're getting to the realm of people not driving themselves and needing to park for 15 minutes, there is an opportunity to use those parking lots for something else. And right now they're being underutilized. And so it is a function both of the size of the parking lot, but also the use. And so we're seeing that the use of small parking lots is diminishing as like Lyft and Uber and Scoot and a bunch of these ride share programs, so you don't have to drive yourself or park.
That's really eye-opening. I wasn't even thinking about that, because I just see all over the place that parking lots get bulldozed and something comes up on top. But I didn't think about the size of a parking lot and how that matters. So thank you for clarifying that. So with that as kind of a untapped market, so to speak, if what would be the encouragement for these parking lot owners to come seek you out?
Yeah, so the biggest thing is, as a former owner of property myself, I used to think a lot about just about the financial reward of like owning a parking lot and charging people to park there. Something that we think about is the financial reward of doing like employing a campsite at your own parking lot. So we're right now garnering like 5 to 10x what a typical parking lot would garner. And so to me, you're not only improving the space, you're creating a product that people want to spend time in and enjoy and is actually good for their well-being, but also making more money than what your typical parking lot would make.
So that's another good point. So these are ways that you're revenue sharing with the parking lot owner.
Yeah, so we would prefer to just sign a lease and then sort of own and operate the campsite in that location. I mean, we would be open to revenue sharing as well.
I got it. So it's like a managed service for parking lots.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. So along that line, what are some of the success criteria for campsite over the next, you know, 1 to 3 years?
Yeah, I think just getting the word out to people in terms of this is what we're doing, this is what we're offering in the marketplace, this is our product, this is how you can use our product. I'd like to expand to different cities as well, so we're currently thinking about LA or New York as a next location. Having the parking lot be the first prototype in whatever city that we go to, and then also listing other outdoor spaces that people would like to use in the city is our sort of like growth platform. So it's a very small CapEx, more on the scalable business side, more building a marketplace and allowing people to use the outdoor space that is typically underutilized.
Do you foresee all of your sites looking like a campground, or do you think there'll be some other theme type of sites?
We're totally open to different themed outdoor space. I think there's something nice about camping that brings the nostalgia back to other people. And another thing that is really enjoyable about camping is like the access to nature and having trees. So I think if it was outdoor space that didn't have the nature aspects, we wouldn't be that interested in it.
Is the nature aspect what differentiates you from others that are similar to this concept?
I would say so, yes.
Okay. And we talked about New York. We talked about L.A. What's making folks come back?
You know, that's a great question that I haven't really honed in on. I think it's a combination of factors. Number one, the ease of use. So you can open the door with your smartphone within 5 minutes of arriving at our doorstep. The second thing is that being outside and engaging with your friends in this way, in nature and outdoors that is that has proximity to where you live, so you don't have to drive 45 minutes to get to an outdoor space that you want to spend time in, are two things that really resonate with people. So they have good times, and then they tell their friends about it.
Yeah, it sounds like a really interesting opportunity for those with parking lots. We're with Nikki Chu, CEO and CEO of Campsite. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Contact us at svin.biz. That's svin.biz. Thanks.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your hosts, Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler.
Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo, and today I've been joined by CEO and COO of Campsite, Nikki Chu. And during the break, Nikki and I were just talking about one of the times that Campsite was used for a wedding. So, Nikki, you were talking about the Santa Rosa fire?
That's right, yeah. So we don't have a lot of weddings in our space. It's just too small to host. And frankly, we're just not well equipped. But when there was a bunch of fires in Santa Rosa, we got a last minute request for someone who couldn't have their wedding in Santa Rosa because of the fires. And we just gave them our site for the weekend to host their event and have their wedding. It was a really successful event. And they were just like very thankful and glad that they could still unite in this way.
Yeah, I think the story there is that even with the fire, and that's great that Campsite donated the space, that all the vendors, all the planning and preparation could still be held at a site like Campsite. So I just thought that was really cool. So thanks for sharing that. In the show today, we had talked about Campsite, that's C-A-M-P-S-Y-T-E, this both co-working space by day, but also an event planning or an event space for corporate events, for birthdays, and just for unique outdoor experiences in an urban environment. Nikki, what are some of the ways to get engaged with Campsite?
Yeah, it's a great question. Visit our space. We're located at 9 Freelon Street at the corner of 4th and Brennan in San Francisco, SoMa. You can also check us out online, sign up for a membership or a 2-hour day pass, and come and have a beer and see if you enjoy the space. We're always open for feedback. We like to hear how people engage with the space. We like to hear what people like and dislike. We want to improve it. We want to improve people's well-being. And this is the first way to do that.
And Nikki, let's switch back to just a little bit about your entrepreneur experience. I like your story in that, you know, you start off growing up in Canada, you were a river rafting guide and a ski instructor, and then you had a lot of education. This really does tie in all your experience that we talked about in the beginning of the show, and now in this concept of campsite. What other things are you thinking about beyond campsite, just for entrepreneurs in general and for yourself?
Yeah, I think a lot about how to create the environment where you can foster your best ideas. And so I think about just how to create a support network for myself in this entrepreneur world where it's a pretty high-paced environment. You can get carried away easily. And so I do a lot of just like time outside, meditation, to stay grounded in the things that I believe in. And one thing I love to see is entrepreneurs trying to make a difference in the world and being authentic. And so I'm always here to help if people need. I really like that idea that we're all out here to create better products for people and to create a better world.
Thank you. And I see that. I see that with campsite. We talked about it earlier, that you are giving outdoor experiences to people that are usually, you know, stuck kind of in literally the rat maze or rat race in corporate offices and cubicles. Even the normal co-working spaces, they're cool and they're hip, but they're still indoors. So we see that. We see that you're empowering parking lot owners in a way of new revenue streams and still serving their community. So I really like those aspects. I think back to what Silicon Valley Insider has become. There's a lot of $1 billion unicorn stories, but we believe that there are also lots of just normal entrepreneurial stories, the 1 million story, the 5 million story, the 10 million story. All these are very valuable, and hearing about each other's experiences is what makes it unique, and we, to your point, Nikki, you can learn from each other. One of the great things I love about this show and about our business, Nikki, is that we love getting engaged with founders who are just passionate about what they're doing. And that is clearly seen in what you and Dennis are doing with Campsite. What's driving that?
Basically, the need to build better products, because I think people right now aren't engaged to their full selves. And so what really energizes me and excites me is seeing people experience the space and come away with new energy. That's something that happens to me daily when I'm outside, either running in Marin or jumping in the ocean. And I love seeing a little part of that in everybody's day.
Okay. I mean, when I was at campsite, that totally resonates with me. It happened to be 70 plus degrees in the winter, which is not usual in San Francisco, but it was cool. And I could really see that. I could see people really enjoying being in that outdoor environment. That was just unique to San Francisco when you're normally just enclosed in walls. Nikki, thanks again for being on our show today. It's been really fun to learn about Campsite, that's C-A-M-P-S-Y-T-E, and how to get engaged with Campsite, how to rent the space. So thanks again. As a reminder, I'm going to be the 2018 San Jose Smart City Conference MC. And if you want to be a sponsor or a speaker, we're taking applications. Come to svin.biz for more information. And if you're a company that is involved with any technology related to smart cities, so that includes IoT, blockchain, or typical companies like commercial development, architecture firms, just come back to svin.biz. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler. For questions or comments on today's program, or to schedule a complimentary consultation with Keith or Jonathan about your business, call 1-888-828-SVIN. That's 1-888-828-7846. 888-828-SVIN.
Be sure to listen again.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.